This episode of the Fresh Start Family Show is brought to you by our Quick Start Learning Bundle, how to build a compassionate, firm, and kind discipline toolkit that works with kids of all ages. Head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your Quick Start Bundle so you can get going today on building up a strong, compassionate discipline toolkit in your home.
Well, hey there, I'm Stella. Welcome to my mom and dad's podcast, The Fresh Start Family Show. We're so happy you're here. We're inspired by the ocean, Jesus, and rock and roll, and believe deeply in the true power of love and kindness. Together, we hope to inspire you to expand your heart, learn new tools, and strengthen your family. Enjoy the show!
Well, hey there, families, and welcome to another episode of the Fresh Start Family Show. I am interviewing Lynn Jackson today from Connected Families, and I'm not with Terry. Terry's at work today while Lynn and I recorded. We missed him for sure, but we did have such a wonderful conversation all around raising kids that are sensitive, intense, or challenging, how we can really stay in integrity when we have those strong-willed kids or those power kids. And what's cool about our conversation with Lynn today is that she brought a lot to the table around sensory stuff, which I think is such a fascinating topic. And Lynn has so much expertise in this area because she is a not only just a trained, you know, certified life coach, author, speaker, all these wonderful things. She's a parenting educator, but she also has a lot of experience as a pediatric occupational therapist. So she really understands what's underneath kids' misbehavior, what's underneath their sensitivities, what makes them act out or be so, you know, challenging at times. And so I loved her perspective as she spoke to us about how we can approach challenging situations with these kiddos that often do challenge us, right? And so I know you're going to love this episode. Have a listen, enjoy, and make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. You can head to iTunes, click that little subscribe button so you get notified every week of our new episodes. And while you're there, leave us a review. We love to hear if you're loving these episodes. And we just are grateful for every one of you who listens and tunes in to our show. So with that said, enjoy the show and let us know what you think. Well, hey there, families, and welcome to today's episode where I am so excited. Literally, excitement is beaming out of my body as I sit here with Lynn Jackson from Connected Families. I have been waiting for this interview for a while now because I really love what Lynn and her husband, Jim, are doing through the organization called Connected Families. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Lynn here in a second, but today we're going to be talking about understanding your sensitive or intense child. And families, let me tell you, you are going to want to listen in to this full episode because Lynn really is a wealth of knowledge. She has over 25 years of experience as both a parent to what I love that you call your kids three intense kiddos. And she's a pediatric occupational therapist specializing in kids with sensory processing disorder and behavioral challenges. And so in 2002, right? So that was how many years ago now?
17.
Oh my gosh.
It was the fall, so 17 years.
17 years ago, she and her husband, Jim, founded Connected Families, which is a ministry that helps parents learn to embody God's grace in the midst of family life. As a speaker, certified life coach, podcaster, and author, Lynn has helped thousands of parents learn to be peaceful, purposeful, and confident. So, families, I'm going to turn it over to you here in a second, Lynn, so you can introduce yourself a little bit more and tell us more about your journey and how you got to where you are today. But I want to tell you, families, that, you know, Lynn's ministry, of course, is all about honoring God and Jesus and how we can do that as we raise our children. But even families, if you're not a family of faith, I want you to really just listen in and not be scared away by, when we talk about faith today, because what Lynn is going to provide today is universally incredibly helpful, and her heart is just huge. And I promise you that you're going to be just so tremendously helped by the wisdom that she has. So I'm so excited that you all are here. And Lynn, I'm going to turn it over to you and tell us about your story, about how God got you to where you are today, and just tell us more about you and Connected Families before we get started on our subject of understanding your sensitive and or intense child.
Well, I'm also an occupational therapist, which isn't in the normal lineup of my bio, but it's a key piece of who I am. And I really loved that profession because I found it intriguing to understand children and their nervous systems. And it was really helpful because I had a couple of sensory kiddos myself, and all of our kids were intense and eventually diagnosed with ADHD. There's a predominance of that in their genetic gene pool, shall we say?
Right.
But it was super helpful to understand that with my kids because sometimes their behavior was absolutely exasperating and I could step back and go, wait a minute, what's this about?
Right.
So when my daughter, you know, had a 45-minute meltdown over brushing her teeth at night before bed, it was like, even though it was, you know, aggravating, it was like I understood it and I understood how to help her. So I'm passionate about helping other parents understand kids that are just more sensitive or intense and what might be going on with them, because compassion can be such a huge help when we're struggling with our child and we understand how difficult life is for them.
Oh, I love it. So you started out, were you an occupational therapist for some years before you became all these other things, a life coach, a certified?
Yeah.
So you started out as an occupational therapist, right?
Yes, correct. And worked with physically disabled for a while. And then shifted over to more sensory and behaviorally challenged kids. And so that's really where my focus has been for the last 20 years or so, 25, actually 30 was when I first started really diving into sensory integration challenges. And so then was in a pediatric clinic about 20 plus years ago, specifically for that focus.
Wow. And then you had, God blessed you with these three intense kiddos, right? For you to, and then I'm sure that just drove you to really share with the world what you've learned and what's helped your family. Is that accurate?
Oh, for sure. Yes. Because a lot of kids that struggle, they're actually more high potential kids, but they're struggling so much with how overwhelmed they are by how their bodies feel or how the environment is perceived to them, you know, sounds and sights and such, that they end up getting in trouble more and can get really discouraged. And so I take great joy in helping parents of these intense kids because I think guided well, they can be, you know, tenacious, wise leaders and servants and you know, just people that will really bless the world.
Yes, I agree. I share a similar passion. I always call, you know, say my passion is to really help the families who have what I like to call power kids, the families or the kids that have this huge desire to lead. And there can be such pain in the butts to raise, right, when they're little. But we've experienced that same thing where we have a daughter who's now 12 who just came into the world with like the fiercest energy and just you could feel her strength from birth. And, you know, we didn't know what to do the first few years, got into a really dark place with our parenting. And then once we found the work of positive parenting, we shifted everything. And to see her blossom and thrive in this type of, you know, family lifestyle, so to speak, with practicing what we teach is so beautiful because she is tenacious. She is dedicated. She's an incredible athlete. She's an incredible musician, friend, artist, everything under the sun, but she is a leader to her core. And I know that I've heard a lot of parents who struggle with the same thing, whether it's a power kid who just wants to lead so much and has that big desire to lead and feel powerful, or a sensitive kiddo, or, you know, an intense child. All those kind of go hand in hand. And I, too, have such a heart for helping families who, you know, sometimes it just can be so exhausting and you can feel so hopeless and so like you just feel so alone, right? Especially when you see a neighbor or a friend. Like in our family, we got 2 colicky babies, which we couldn't believe it. But we used to always joke that we would watch our friends who had little babies who would just sit in their car seats and like hang out. And we were like, what is that? What is that child? Is that baby just sitting there? Like, isn't your baby crying?
They must have drugged it.
Yes.
Yes. And so I love supporting families who are just, you know, in the thick of it and struggling, and helping them know that, yes, it's intense to raise an intense child or a power kiddo or a sensitive child, but what they have been blessed with is magnificent. And if we can come beside them and support them with how to raise these strong, intense, sensitive souls, it's incredible to see what these kids grow up to be. And seeing Stella at 12 now, I mean, we just are getting a glimpse of it, right? I'm sure you can speak so much to them. I think all your kids are, how old are your kids now? You have three, right?
Right. 32, 29, and 27.
Yeah, right. So I love that, you know, you can really speak to what it can do for a family and children as they become adults when you stay connected and you use compassion and empathy and grace and all that good stuff that I'm sure we're going to talk all about today when we get into that subject of understanding and your sensitive or intense child. But one more thing, Lynn, before we get into our three subjects that go along with that today. Tell me about what brought you to make this more of a ministry, because I got to tell you, I literally, like, as I was preparing for this today, I could feel myself getting emotional because I'm so flipping grateful, Lynn. When I find people like you, and like when I found your work, I like instantly went to your website and I was like, oh my gosh, her and Jim are like, they're teaching what I teach and they are like guiding parents to honor Jesus in the way they raise their children. And because honestly, like sometimes I hear people teaching in the Christian space and I get terrified and I'm like, oh no, I'm going to go to the website and it's going to be scary and it's going to make my stomach turn. And it's like, I've spent years dealing with like trying to just figure that out. Right. And like be in conversation with God and say, you know, it helped me to like be the light that I want to be, but not be so sad about that. But so when I saw your work, I was like, oh my gosh, I told my assistant Laura, I'm like, we have to get them on the podcast ASAP because they're doing incredible things in the world and they're spreading such light and they're speaking such biblical truth over families and guiding them in this totally accurate, light-filled direction. And I am just so grateful that you're doing this. And I just want to hear, how did you decide to make this more of a ministry? Because obviously as an occupational therapist, like you're in the, you know, normal world, and then you took this business, which is beautiful. I mean, the courses that you have and the resources that you're offering families is incredible. You have done a wonderful job. But how did you get there? How did God guide you in that direction? And how did you find the courage to keep going down there when there is such opposition in the world?
Well, it actually has a lot to do with my husband, who was called to ministry with at-risk teens for 12 years.
Wow.
And he saw more and more of these kids that were really struggling coming out of church families. And it just broke our hearts to see the kind of parenting input that people were getting. I mean, I feel similarly. I have goosebumps just listening to you, because this was a real struggle for us. We started with a very harsh discipline approach because we thought that was the only thing that was biblical, and it was so hurtful to our kids. And then there was a night that I was reading 1 Thessalonians 2, where it talks about Paul's talking to his quote unquote children in the church. And he says, we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. And then farther on, it says, and we know that we dealt with you as a father deals with his children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of the kingdom of God. And that was like, boom, all right, we can leave that behind and look to how Jesus parented his kids and, you know, his disciples, and how Paul parented his quote unquote children. And that's our guide. And it was a game changer. And we were moving more towards that, but that was like, that sealed the deal. And then we began to develop this framework that was really rooted in my husband's work with at-risk teens and seeing these disenfranchised teens. So we developed a model called the Connected Families Framework in its very infancy in those days, and just began to teach it on the side. And that really grew a lot. And so at one point, the Lord called him kind of in the middle of the night You got to do it. You got to set out and try to reach younger families before these problems get so difficult. So we've always had a heart for struggling kids, whether it's emotionally, like in these at-risk teens, or from a sensory standpoint, like the ones that I have served. And so we're passionate about helping people of all types, but particularly families of faith that have maybe been given a really harsh discipline approach to parenting, to connect well with their children and earn deep, heartfelt influence in their lives.
Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. And so now you and Jim do this full time, right? You are connectedfamilies.org full time. And do you do speaking around the nation also?
Yes, we do. We don't travel a ton, but we're heading out to two places in California in January. We've done a little bit of teaching overseas. There's 40 countries that have downloaded our podcast. That was a while ago. It could be more now. So, word is really getting out. It's been just exciting. We have a team of about 8 people, of us total. So it's just a joy to work with these other, they're all parents that are equally committed to helping parents, bring God's grace and truth into their homes.
Amazing. And just to give you guys, listeners, an idea of some of the workshops that Lynn and Jim have designed, Discipline That Connects with Your Child's Heart. We're going to give you guys some more details about that later. How to Grow a Connected Family, Discovering God's Unique Purpose for Your Family, Grace and Truth for Moms, Entitlement, A Biblical Response to the Cultural Epidemic, Why Kids Misbehave, Siblings from Bickering to Bonding, Gaining Cooperation in the Home, Misbehaviors and the God-Given Gifts Behind Them, Understanding Your Sensitive or Intense Child, which is what we're going to talk about today, discipline that connects with your child's heart, just all of, I mean, it's as an online course creator, I know how much work all this takes, and you guys have put in the hard work, so I can't wait for you listeners to go check out their work, and we're going to give you all the details about how to do that later, but
let's chat for a hot sec, openly and honestly, about what your discipline toolkit looks like in your home right now. If you're anything like most parents, you're relying on the hand-me-down set you inherited. Timeouts, spankings, threatening of spankings, taking iPads away, 3-2-1 countdowns, groundings, taking away toys, e-bikes, iPhones, any or all of those kind of tactics that create a total relationship strain and don't even work long-term to end your child's misbehavior for good. Meaning, you might spank your child or send them to timeout today for being, air quotes, mean to their sister or disrespecting you, but then 3 days from now, they're repeating the same misbehavior, which causes you to flip your lid because you know they know better. I want to help you learn a new way so you can end the vicious cycle that's keeping you stuck as a parent and causing you to feel super frustrated that nothing is working to get your strong-willed, stubborn child to behave better. My team and I have recently completely refreshed our Compassionate Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle to help you learn a new way to teach your kids important life lessons, a new way to help your children learn from their mistakes and take responsibility for their actions. You can just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and I'll personally send you a message with a link to download this free bundle. I'm going to help you shift out of a punishment mindset and into a compassionate discipline one where you fully trust that connection-based, firm and kind discipline tools are all you need to be a strong leader in your home who holds your kids responsible when they misbehave, but does it in a way where they are learning the vital life skills they are missing when they mess up. So again, just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline. To grab your free bundle now. I am so excited for you to shift out of feeling guilty and shameful when you lay your head on your pillow at night and shift into feeling confident and proud of the way you handled yourself as a parent, even when you were wildly triggered and upset about the mistake your child made. Okay, I'm excited for you to dive into this free resource. I'll see you in my DMs and inside the free discipline bundle.
All right. Awesome, Lynn. So without further ado, let's get into our subject matter for today. And these are the 3 points that we're going to cover today, families, that is going to help you to understand your sensitive or intense child. Number one, Lynn's going to talk to us about how to know if a behavior is primarily sensory or behaviorally based. Number two, how arousal state, which is our energy level or emotional state, affects conflicts and discipline. And then number three, how to handle sensory processing differences with integrity. And Lynn's going to tell us all about how to apply the Connected Families framework to sensory-based challenges. And so this, Lynn, is just kind of a starting point because I hope to have you and Jim back where Terry can be with us. He's not with us today. He had to be at work today. But here at Fresh Start Family, we love to get the guys involved too. And I know Jim is such a big part of Connected Families. And so we can't wait to have you back to talk more about compassionate discipline and, you know, discipline that connects, which I know so many families want to learn about. But today, let's get into this subject matter about sensory differences, which I know families are going to love because I've done one podcast episode with a sensory expert. Her name is Wendy Burtnall, and that is actually our number one podcast download as of right now. I think we have about 37 episodes at the time of this recording. So I know families are going to eat this up. So let's talk to us about point number one. How do we know if a behavior is primarily sensory or behaviorally based? Tell us about what that means.
Well, I get that question a lot, and it helps to just look at really what the behavior is. And so a lot of times, if you have a child that's struggling with some sensory issues, you'll see sort of unusual things, like they may be kind of undersensitive to stimulation, and they just sort of seem like they're in a fog, and maybe they kind of squirmy, can't sit still at dinner, but life is confusing and overwhelming, and they just don't respond quickly to things. You might have a child that is oversensitive, and this is a little easier to recognize because, you know, when you have a child that is hypersensitive to sound, and they react strongly to sounds and get aggravated by sounds or cover their ears, you know, that's kind of an obvious thing. Sometimes you'll see symptoms where they're very sensitive in the touch or tactile system, and their clothes bug them. It could be tags or textures or seams. Sometimes grooming and hygiene cares bug them, and they just overreact to things. You know, my daughter, like I said, would have meltdowns over brushing her teeth, you know, sitting on a cold toilet seat. She
right.
said, I used to warm it up with a blow dryer.
Awesome.
And then as a young adult, we were laughing about that. And she said, but you know, Mom, I liked it best when you sat on it first.
That's so funny.
So if you see some of these quirky little things, like, seriously, this shouldn't be such a big deal, then you can kind of guess, okay, this is, why would my child just be complaining about a cold toilet seat unless it really was a big deal? You know, so if it's some of the more garden variety of things of, you know, I want this toy or that toy, then it's more negotiable, but, you know, it's not so clear cut. But when you see these things occurring, you know, another key thing to look for is if they are, you know, if they struggle with swinging or get car sick, or maybe they didn't like to lay flat on their back when you diapered them, or they just, you know, they seem to react to movement more strongly, either seeking it or being anxious about it. That's a thing to be aware of. So,
oh my gosh. I'm laughing because it just, you know, all the memory, as I learn more about this sensory stuff, and I'm so excited to hear all this because I've never gotten super educated. I've had a lot of education about positive parenting curriculum, but not so much in this area. And thinking back to when Stella, from the time she was that colicky baby up until, like, you know, 5-6 years old, everything that you're talking about is so was so, like, there for her. We mm-hmm. from, like, she used to, as a, she moved from a colicky baby who, of course, you have to, you know, bounce all the time. And we had crazy amount of bouncing, and yep. we would name the moves. So, like, to put her to sleep, we called it, the like the bomb drop. You'd put her on your knee and you'd like slowly rhythmically like bounce her, but then you'd have to do it heavy, like, and she'd be sitting upright on your knee. This was like, you know, by the time she was probably like 9 months old, we were still doing this, and she would just, her chin would drop. And then we had the elevator, which would, she would go up and down. Like, I mean, my arms were never so buff in my life. And then like, we had all these moves. She like, Terry would fly her around the house, and that's when she was happiest. And then later on, like just funny memories that weren't so funny at the time. Like, she would put on her pull up and she would get so hot, and she would stand up in her bed and freak out and say, "I'm hot to bot." And still to this day, we say that, so funny, but like, she would literally, she was freaking out, like tantruming. Yep. And you know, if you're not educated in this stuff, you just think your kid is crazy and being disrespectful or disobedient or not listening or whatever, like, you know, so it's just, it's crazy to hear all about this. So, okay. Anyways, it's all these flashbacks are like, yeah, she definitely was and is a sensitive kiddo.
Yeah. Our son used to have meltdowns over, you know, the blender, the vacuum, fireworks, all that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, and then there's visual stuff of, you know, just getting overstimulated in the cloud, in crowds, or hypersensitivity to bright lights and colors, you know, light coming in the car window or fluorescent lights. One little boy complained about the lights in one supermarket compared to the other one. And another symptom is when you just see an unusual compulsion with screens. It's like, screens are my drug, and they make the rest of the crazy world and my body go away. You know, it's that kind of a thing. Our son at 15 months could figure out which VHS tape he wanted, how to turn on the player, put it in, and punch play.
Right.
And it was crazy because he was so obsessed with getting right in front of that screen. And then we did a bunch of sensory work with him, and he started regaining the words that he had lost. He returned to sleeping through the night, and the screen preoccupation went to normal. So
that's cool.
It really, really can make a difference when you understand this is what my child is struggling with, and you know how to go about and get them the kind of sensory experiences that's going to gradually calm their nervous system. So anyway,
so
one more comment on that question, how do I know if behavior is primarily sensory or behavior? You don't necessarily always know, but if you have a really good strategy for dealing with it, then you can be confident that your child will feel cared about no matter what the source is. Because sometimes sensory issues can just get kids so agitated inside, they get really controlling and they get locked on to things that you would think are not sensory related. Like, I have to have the red cup, not the blue one.
Yes, yeah.
And it's because they feel so internally out of control, they're needing to control people and their environment in order to just like not fall apart inside. So the analogy I used is like being in a foreign train station where it's hot and it's so noisy and it's so crowded and you're getting bumped and it's signs and lights and everything everywhere and you're total sensory overload and you're confused and you don't know where to go. And then you see a Starbucks end of the train station, and you start running like, a vanilla latte will just do it for me right now. And then right before you get there, the window slams shut and it says closed, and you have a meltdown.
Right.
Now, was that over the vanilla latte, or was that over the sensory stress? It was essentially over the sensory stress that led you to lock on to one thing that was going to fix it for you.
Oh my gosh, Lynn, that is the best example ever, because as adults, you know, I love to like help people become like aware of their own behavior that influences our children. But like, I can totally see myself doing that. No, not so much now after like 10 years of life coaching work, but where you're like, how dare you? It's like, I was standing here. I was in line. You can't close the window on me. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you haven't looked the signs, like you're blaming, your tone of voice with these people is outrageous, like misbehavior all over the place I can see in that situation. But it's like you said, it's just because you were overwhelmed with what was going on and your soul wasn't settled. So when you walked up, you just started misbehaving.
Yep, exactly.
That's cool.
So there's lots more to this, and we'll include a little link to a checklist that we use. There's other checklists that you can find online about sensory symptoms, but just so people have a concrete, quick reference that they can look more thoroughly at some of the symptoms of sensory processing challenges. But we should probably move on to kind of that second issue of so how does arousal state, that seems like kind of a technical term, but how does that factor into all this, and how does that show up in conflicts and disciplines? Does that make sense to you?
Right. Yes, for sure. Okay. Tell us more about it.
Well, it's about that when a child's sensory processing is not working well for them, it's very stressful. It's very anxiety producing. And they don't spend a lot of their life in just that relaxed, alert, medium arousal state. They tend to be up in some degree of fight or flight for a lot of their day. And so in fight or flight, then we easily get triggered to aggressive or defensive reactions, meltdowns, controlling behavior, aggressive, angry words, those kinds of things. And so if a parent deals with an upset child in a way that we bring our own fight or flight into the mix,
right,
and try to dominate the child, it just can be explosive. And then we talk about how we all climb Crazy Mountain together when
right.
that happens. And so that's why it's really key for parents to recognize, I may not be able to help my child in the middle of a meltdown, but my best shot as being really calm myself, because my frontal lobe needs to stay online for us to have a prayer of helping my child's frontal lobe get back online.
Yes,
Because when survival mechanisms kick in, and relational threat is perceived by the brain just like physical threat. So if I come in and I'm like, what, why did you do this? It is gonna trigger my child's fight or flight system.
Wow.
And so, for us to really be aware when that happens, their sensory processing goes even on more hyper alert. And so sounds and touch is way worse. So, you know, I know that we had one son that if he was a little agitated and I put a hand on his shoulder, like, hey, buddy, kind of calm down, he would just get instantly upset because now his brain was in hyper alert. That no longer felt like pleasant or comforting touch. It felt like aggressive touch, and it would spiral it up. So we learn
right.
not to do that, but to come in very carefully. And that kind of leads us really to the last issue, which is you know, how we can have a framework to guide us through these sensory challenges. And Wendy, I know that you've connected a little bit with the Connected Families framework, and maybe I can even throw a question back at you, is what
yeah.
stood out to you in that framework and relating to Stella or maybe one of your other kids that's more intense? And I'll unpack it in a minute, but I want to hear from you first.
Well, I'm not going to be able to do it by memory, and we'll see how I do. So it's safe. It's, and again, I probably don't know all four of them, but tell me again, it's safe. And then, unconditionally loved. Hold on. Let me see if I can remember here. Safe, unconditionally loved. I'm not gonna be able to do it. So safe, loved. What are the last two?
Capable and responsible.
Yes. Okay. Well, I love them all. I mean, every single one I could speak to about forever. But I mean, the most impactful right away was the safe, because it. Mm-hmm. I have spent many. You know, I love the families that are part of my foundations course or my membership program or just follow us online or through the podcast. They know I love to share like authentic stories of the times I've messed up. And I think back to, you know, it took me like 8 years to stop yelling, honestly, like 8 years to stop yelling.
And you persevered.
I did. Yes. And I'm pretty dang good now. Even though Stella will say to me sometimes, Mom, why are you yelling at me? And I'm like, I'm not yelling. She's like, Mom, you're using that yelling tone. I'm like, you're right. But I do think about like how it's just a message that unfortunately has been given to culture that you want to scare your kids.
And it's just like, it crushes my heart. And I still, even being a positive parenting educator now for nearly a decade and raising kids for so long and believing so passionately about this work, I find that it's still hard at times to fight that and think to myself, you don't have to scare them. You know what I mean? Like, it's so ingrained in my DNA as a, I don't know, as a human, I don't even know what it is, but the idea of being raised in a family your whole life where you always felt safe, no matter what kind of mistake you made or what kind of pushback you were having, or, you know, just, it just is like the dream to me, is to the safety and how beautiful that is, and how that is how you always, if I picture hanging out with Jesus, that's how I feel. I just feel so safe with him. And that's how I want to, that's how I want my kids to feel. And, but all of them, I mean, the responsibility thing is massive, but I'm going to let you talk about it because it's beautiful. And I want to hear more from you about all of them.
Oh, well, that's cool to hear. Yeah, it really does start. There's, you'll be able to see in the show notes, a picture of the framework, and, or you can go to our website online, but really start, parents want to start with correct. What's the consequence or the punishment to stop this behavior? But the beauty of the Connected Families framework is it tells us, it teaches us to step back and take a big picture look at what's going on in our relationship with our child. And so it takes us down to the level of our foundation for parenting, which is what's going on in us and what's going on in me. What am I believing about myself and my child? And this is so essential, and it's really missed by a lot of parenting tools, because they start with how can I make things better, but the real answer to that question is by understanding myself more.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So especially with sensitive or intense or challenging kids, we often have beliefs about ourselves as our in our parenting or about our child. And so I can remember one time looking at one of my intense kiddos and thinking, you are the three-dimensional representation of my failure as a parent.
Yes, because we teach that too. It's because the old school paradigm is a misbehaving child equals a bad child equals a bad parent.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's such a lie. But as soon as I thought it, I thought, wow, that was really dysfunctional, but it was in there. So I'd better do some thinking and praying about that.
Right.
Well, hey there, families. How many of you would say that you feel like you have a kiddo that is very strong-willed, very sensitive, very challenging? Any of those? Yeah, I see a lot of you raising your hands. If you're wondering how the heck to parent those kiddos that are always giving you a hard time, pushing limits, and displaying challenging behavior, I've got a gift for you today. It's my free strong-willed guide and worksheet to parenting these kind of kiddos with integrity. And I promise you, it's going to give you loads of support. You can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/strong-willed kids. That's freshstartfamilyonline.com/strong-willed kids to grab your free guide now. Enjoy.
So I learned to embrace, you know, a number of things. A key for me was my child's behavior is not my report card. Jesus is my report card.
Nice.
And so there was a time that I think it was my daughter in a big box store. I don't know if it was Target or Walmart, but, you know, one of them was having a meltdown, and I stopped and I took a breath and I thought, this is another chance to practice getting my value from Jesus.
Yes.
And just that put me in a calmer state so that I could deal with it. So it gets really practical, especially with our intense kids. We need to be able to get value from something, someone outside of our child's behavior, because otherwise it's just a long game of trying to manipulate them so we feel good about us.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of what Foundation is about. And Foundation, as we start to look at our baggage, then we can begin to be safer and safer with our kids. And specifically in the heat of the moment, there's a lot of practical things in what we teach that help parents to be calmer in the moment. And it's especially important for these kids that can go to 0 to 60 in no time. It's like if we join them, it's 120, isn't it?
Yes, I know. One of my favorite quotes from L.R. Nost is something like, it's our job to share our our calm with our kids instead of mm-hmm. join them in their chaos. But it's so yeah. often, I mean, it's just such a, it's, we, you know, we all know it's so hard to break those habits of reactivity. And then you have culture telling you that you need to be reactive and you need to be scary and you need to hurt. And it's just, it, then it's very hard to, so, the, you know, families really just need to know that it can take some time and it's worth the hard work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. So we talk about just some ways to specifically be slow, go get low and listen, slow, low and listen. So slow your pace down, take a break, just talk slower, get low, get out of your big physical intimidating posture, even sit down on the floor
nice.
Or lay down on the floor,
take
some deep breaths, calm your body, and then listen to your child. So a lot of times you can just even ask, you know, if you, a simple question of, hey, what's going on in here? It seems like you got yourself in a little pickle, you know, what's going on and how would you like to solve it? And then listen to your child. So sometimes that can even be transforming. And all this communicates that message, you are safe with me. And
yeah.
we really, like I said, we need that so much more. That safety is so important, for particularly for children who do not feel like the world is safe for them.
Yes.
So that's why you've gravitated probably to that, is because you probably have a couple of kiddos that haven't always felt safe in this world, and they really need us to be that for them.
Hey there, families. Let's talk for a quick minute about Kate Northrup's free financial healing workshop. Have you registered? If not, you can sign up at freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. It's happening April 23rd through 25th. And in case you've missed it, I've been talking a lot lately around the impact that learning about nervous system healing and regulation and financial healing has really transformed my own life, especially when it comes to my bank account and my nervous system. And I'm excited for you guys to learn from Kate too. So I'd highly recommend you hop into her free workshop this week. It is not too late to sign up and get the replay, even if you can't make it live. And then afterwards, you're going to see that Kate is doing a very special invitation into her incredible program called Relaxed Money. That is the program that I started last October and just really has changed my life in so many beautiful ways. But she is inviting families in for a very limited time. And anybody who wants to join with you know, with our special offer here at Fresh Start Family, I want to give you a few things for free. Number one, I am gifting my foundations course for free. That's a $497 value. Plus, I'm giving away 2 months free of our Fresh Start Experience, which is our full support positive parenting program. So it's a pretty incredible offer if you want to invest in yourself and your family by healing your nervous system and really looking at more ways you can become abundant and attractive to money, so you stop maybe a pattern of living month to month or feeling like there's never enough money, but actually getting into a rhythm of just having overflow in your life when it comes to money. It's a really good feeling now that I actually have that going on in both my business and my personal finance front. So if you want to join Kate's program called Relaxed Money, please just forward your receipt to me, Wendy@freshstartfamilyonline.com, once you sign up, and I will get you the foundations course plus 2 months free of the Fresh Start Experience, again for free. That's a $615 bonus I am offering for our families who sign up for Kate's program and want to get access to all of our special bonuses that we're providing. So again, sign up at freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax, whether you are looking for the free workshop and or looking to learn more about Kate's Relaxed Money program. But I am just so excited for you to start learning with Kate and to get the benefit of getting our programming and support when it comes to powerful positive parenting for free on top of your investment. That's just going to really change the game for you on the financial front. I just feel like it's such a beautiful win-win. Again, head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax for all the details.
Yes. And I love, like, Lynn, just to, you know, a lot of families, I think back to when I first learned this work, and I was always the question girl in college, no matter how big the lecture hall was, I'd throw up my hand, excuse me, professor, can I? And like, or, you know, when I first started taking positive parenting classes, I'd throw up my hand and I'd be like, yeah, but. So I know a lot of parents are probably thinking, like, they're imagining themselves getting down on the ground with, like, their tantruming toddler, and I can just hear their voices like, uh-uh, heck no. Like, that kid is going to step all over you if you think that you can get down. They need to know, right? So I want to make sure parents understand that it doesn't mean that you're not going to teach. You are going to teach an important life lesson. You are going to make sure you mentor your child and how they can communicate in a healthy way and how they can get their needs met and what sensory processing thing they need help with, right? Like, you're mentoring, you're mm-hmm, teaching, mm-hmm. you're guiding, but you're not reacting and scaring and intimidating, which leads to your child living in fear, which culture has taught families is the only way, right? So just remember what Lynn is saying is not a posture of permissiveness. It's just simply you are safe and we're going to figure this out. We're together. There's nothing that can break our family. And as long as we have Jesus guiding us, then we're going to figure it out. And tomorrow I'm going to help you make a different decision that doesn't involve smacking your sister.
Our key thought in this is that kids learn best when they feel safe. If they don't feel safe, what they'll learn best is aggressive or defensive responses.
Exactly. So
that helps parents to see that a little bit. And it's just the start of the process. It gets their brains back online so they can learn something that you might be hoping they'd actually learn.
Yes.
So the next message that we talk about that is particularly, again, so helpful for these kids is just that you are loved no matter what message.
Yes. Yeah.
Because these often, you know, and you probably have read some Jane Nelson, who talks about that a misbehaving child is a discouraged child. And so kids that can learn that they are loved no matter what is really just so it's so helpful for them. And there was one mom who had a little sensory kiddo, and she said, you know, when I just realized that I would go in slow and he was starting to get upset and I'd just kind of offer him my hand and then we'd talk carefully and I'd empathize, it was like he just de-escalated. And it's really changed how we navigate these difficult situations. So, you know, their anxiety needs our affection because they have this internal sense of I don't fit, I don't measure up.
Yeah.
And so that love, no matter what, not only represents the message of the gospel of, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, but it just, it's so calming because if I feel like you are for my ultimate good, I don't have to, you know, defend my position and escalate this whole conflict.
I love that, Lynn, because I've heard you speak about how in the end, like, that's what encourages us to move. That's what God wants from us, to move closer to him through his unconditional love, not through his condemnation and his judgment and his fear and his force. Like, that's not what he uses to bring us closer to him and to trust him and to, you know, all this stuff. It's like, I love that that comes out in parenting too. And that's when you can tell your kiddo, yeah, you messed up. And it does not affect any bit of my love for you. You can still have my hug after you have a tantrum, after you mess up, whatever. Like, you're still unconditionally loved. Nothing will ever change that because that is not the message that society gives parents. If you're good, you get hugs. If you're bad, you don't, you know?
Right.
So it's very countercultural.
That's a fast track to insecurity.
Right.
Right there. We talk about that misbehavior is the golden opportunity for unconditional love because if you just are putting the Facebook posts when your kid's doing well and you give the hugs when they're pleasing you and then your face gets red and you're using all three of their names in one angry sentence, then it's pretty quick that they're going to communicate, I am only loved when I am behaving well. And that's a scary thing to send kids out into the world with. So this is a really important point.
It
does prepare kids to learn from us then. It's like it earns us the credibility in their eyes. You're a safe person that cares about me, and so I want to learn from you. And this leads us to the next message or principle. It's the coach principle, where we really become a success mentor to our kids. And we start to build a healthy sense of power in these, like you talk about power kids. I talk a lot about building, giving, delegating healthy power to kids so that they don't have to use unhealthy control to feel internally balanced. Because if they feel internally out of control, they can either take your healthy delegated power, or they can do wild controlling, screaming, punching kinds of things to start to feel back in control.
Yeah.
And these kids, you'll often see them be more controlling. There was a national lecturer who developed a protocol for these sensory sensitive kids, Patricia Wilbarger, and she says, when I teach adults, there's a high percentage of business executives because they learn so early on how to control other people. So I'm sure you see that in some of your kiddos there.
Right.
But if we can help our kids learn how to use wise, healthy power in a way that takes self-control, charge of themselves, and they learn to self-advocate in a healthy way. They learn to tune into their own arousal levels. You know, if it's up into red or fight or flight, if they're kind of borderline in yellow, which is like, oh, I'm starting to get anxious or frustrated, I better pay attention. If maybe they're back down in green, where it's like, ah, oh, it's peaceful, I feel okay. Or maybe they're even tired and it's kind of a blue zone sort of a thing. I just quickly summarized something called Zones of Regulation, which is a great program. You can kind of help them tune into that and the emotions that go with each one of those levels. Now you're empowering your child to know I'm called and capable, and that's really the message of this level. I'm called and capable to tune into what my body needs and ask for it respectfully. And that's training. Tune into what my body needs. Tune into what my emotions need. What's going on in me? What am I feeling? How do I want to deal with it? Feel and deal is an important principle to teach in families, especially these kids, because they have such big feelings.
Yes. Yes. So. Oh, I love that, because you know what I teach here at Fresh Start Family is based in Dr. Rudolf Dreiker's work about how, you know, and I think he just educates us on how God designed us to have these needs, right? I mean, we all have hearts and minds that have needs. And you know, when I started learning this work as a 30-something year old, I never got educated on what my needs were and what it looked like when I miscommunicated or communicated in an unhealthy way. And to teach kids from an early age, like, hey, this is what your body's trying to communicate to you. This is what your heart and mind are asking you to seek. You can do it in a healthy way, but you've got to advocate for yourself. I'm not going to solve all your problems. I'm not going to overpower you. I'm not going to control you. You can do this. You're capable. Mm-hmm. You got this. God loves you. He's right over here waiting for you to rely on him. Like, come on, you got this. I'm going to let you fail. You can get back up again. Like, it's just radically awesome. And that I told you every single one of your frameworks, I'm like, yes. So that's beautiful. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and it's pretty biblical too. It's like one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 73, where the psalmist is having a tantrum. He is venting big, angry feelings at God. Right. And it just, you know, the readers can look at it, but it's like God just is, he's there, he's present, he's unflappable. I think it says, you hold me by my right hand, you counsel me with your wisdom or something, and then afterwards you bring me to glory. Anyways,
awesome.
This is wonderful sequence. And then the psalmist goes into this rant about how much he loves God.
Nice.
So when we respond this way to our kids of, I'm for you, I'm calm, I'm safe, I'm bigger than your big upset right now, I love you, I can help you figure your way out of this in a respectful way that you'll feel good about later, that's huge for these kiddos. So we do have a lot of stuff on our website about sensory strategies, like for example, you have the child that comes home from school and they're just like, they've held it together all day at school and then they just like unload when they come through the door.
Yeah.
We've got a specific a post about that. So there's far more things about sensory, working with a child's sensory system than we can go into in our limited time. But that's where this falls under is this: you are called and capable of figuring out what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your body, and respectfully asking for what you need.
Nice. And that's number three, right? Is you are capable. Right. And then how about number four to finish us off?
Yep. Number four is you're responsible for your actions. And that's really where the question of sensory and behavioral begins to fade, because it's like it doesn't matter. You know, if a child is hurtful and they have a big sensory, it's part of a big sensory blowout, your desire for them would be to feel to help them feel reconciled, to be reconciled to whoever they hurt, whether or not it was from a sensory start or a behavioral start. If your goal is reconciliation and it's like, oh, that was so tough, you were so tired, it was so overwhelming in there, but you know, how did you think your sister felt when she got hit out of surprise? That was kind of scary for her, wasn't it?
Right.
So I'm so glad you're calm right now. You know, I think you're ready to go and talk this over with your sister.
Nice.
So it's like that kind of a thing. It's like, I get it. I understand why this happened. But I know that it's good for your heart and the other person's heart to reconcile and make this right.
Yes.
So.
Oh, I love that. I was just thinking this morning, I was getting ready. You know, we talk so much in our work about how, you know, our parents did the best that they could, right? We all parents, most of us, 99%, we do the best that we can with what we know, right? But growing up in my family, I always wish my parents would have had this work, because there really was never an ability to reconcile. There would be blow ups. And my brother was one of these kiddos, these intense, sensitive, intense child, right? His whole life. And so there'd be a lot of blowups. There was a lot of fighting. There was a lot of physical aggression. And then became like a 6'3" man. What do you do with that?
Oh,
right.
Oh my gosh.
But like all these years, like there was just never ever taught the how to make amends, how to repair relationships, how to talk about it after you lose your cool, what to do after something blows over and you realize that somebody else in the family was probably really scared, and all these things that we, you know, you and I now teach. So this is such a beautiful part of it, because it's just teaching people that it's okay to make mistakes. No, there's no perfect family, and you are responsible for your actions. Like, you can't just go through life thinking that you can blow, like, you know, what is that? Steamroll over people and then act like nothing happened the next day. That damages relationships. It's going to drive your kids away. It's going to increase their chance of misbehavior as teenagers. And I love that you and Jim have the experience with teens that have gotten themselves into a place that wasn't going well, that you can really speak to all this. And this is what I always tell my families too, is just trust me. Trust me, like, you don't want to get there. And when kids get driven away, or when relationships get broken or strained, like, relationships is almost the number one thing that you want to, like, strengthen. That's why it's like the connected family's mission is so beautiful, is because if you have strong, connected relationships and the ability to make amends and repair mistakes and come together after you've made human mistakes, then everything is so much better, and you've got a fighting chance to be able to really influence your kids when they do become teens, right?
Yep.
So
it's almost like the analogy of when the house gets on fire, you have a meeting place outside, like the mailbox.
Right.
We used to talk about, we're going to drive a stake in the ground around connection. And when it all goes crazy, that's where we're going to get back to.
Oh, I love that. What a beautiful ending point. Oh my gosh, Lynn. Well, you have blessed us with so much valuable information today. Tell the listeners where they can find you, where they can find your courses. And I know we would really love to put your discipline class in our listeners' hands. So we're going to make sure that we tag that over on the show notes page. But listeners, you can find that at freshstartfamilyonline.com/connectedfamilies. If you want to get into Lynn's discipline class, I think it's called Discipline That Connects. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Right. Awesome. And tell us more about what's your website. How can we find you on social? Anything else you want to tell the listeners about?
Yeah, well, we're on Instagram and Facebook. We have our website, connectedfamilies.org. The Discipline That Connects online course is opening up registration through January, and then we'll start and close registration in February.
Okay.
Won't be open again until October, because we moderate that, and it's an
nice
online community that just is people from all over the world are sharing their experiences. We've got a great staff person that joins in and encourages, and it's really a wonderful experience. And so that will start, and registration will close that first week of February. So be sure that you connect with that. And then we'll just have a bunch of resources for you in the show notes. I think I'll throw in one on just a simple illustration to facilitate true reconciliation with kids, and have them help to get kind of a vision for that for themselves. So that would just be a nice add that I think people would be interested in.
Oh, so I love that.
Otherwise, find your way around our website. There's all sorts of free goodies and downloads and resources for you.
Connectedfamilies.org. Yes. And a gazillion different blog posts and just like so much amazing information over at connectedfamilies.org. And if this episode doesn't air by late January, Lynn, you said the next opening will be in October for the Discipline That Connects family course, right?
Right. It'll start in September, but you can just get on our blog and sign up for the tips, and then you would regularly get emails in September to help you sign up for the October start.
Okay, awesome. Well, we'll see what our team can do to get this up. I'm not sure if we can get it up before February, but if we can, we will. And if not, families, definitely look into that next opening of the discipline class in October or September, October. But Lynn, thank you so much for being here. I am so grateful for the work that you're doing. Please keep doing your work. I am over here cheering you on, and I know I will be telling all of our families through my membership program, through my Jesus Guided Parenting community, just to check out your work, because we really value and appreciate what you're doing. And we can't wait to have you on one more time with Jim, if you're up for it, and we'll get Terry on so we can have a full both conversation.
That would be a lot of fun. I love that.
Nice, Lynn. Thanks for being here.
For more info and all the links that we talked about during today's episode, head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/43. That's freshstartfamilyonline.com/43 for today's show notes.
For more information, go to freshstartfamilyonline.com. Thanks for listening, families. Have a great day.
All right, listeners, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. As we wrap up here, don't forget to DM me the word shift, or head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your free Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle. You'll get immediate access to download our extensive learning guide, where I'll share 5 ways you can ditch the old school hand-me-down punishment mindset beliefs and thoughts that are causing you to react like a volcano instead of respond like the firm, kind, respectful teacher you are at your core. And then you'll also get immediate access to my on-demand workshop, where I'll teach you our 3 core Fresh Start family strategies that make up a strong, compassionate discipline toolkit, as well as my favorite logical consequences that not only work with kids of all ages, but do wonders to unite you with your child and strengthen your relationship, even in your kids' worst moments. So pop on over to Instagram right now and just shoot me a DM with the word shift, and I'll send you a personal link to download that bundle right away. Or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to get access immediately. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll see you inside that free bundle and also inside the next episode.